Are you tired of the cookie-cutter approach to education that's stuck in the last century? Are you seeking a win-win situation where your family thrives, your kids' education is revolutionary, and you still get to chase your own dreams? Welcome to Unschooled Unleashed. Unlock your child's genius. I'm your host, Matthew Jarecki, an unapologetic rebel dad and promoter of what many consider to be educational anarchy. You know the world isn't going to be won by those that just toe the line. It's the innovators, the visionaries, and the resilient spirits that are going to thrive. Our mission here is to forge those world changers within our very homes with less stress, energy, and time. Unschooled Unleashed starts now. Welcome back to another terrific episode of Unschooled Unleashed. I'm your host, Matthew Jarecki, and today we're going to talk about the top 10 values of intentional unschooling, at least the ones I use to drive our unschooling journey in this house. And I just want to pass that on to you. It's a little bit of a longer episode, so I'm not going to talk too long on the intro here. So with that, let's dive in. The top 10 values of intentional unschooling. This is what I use to provide direction as we go through our unschooling journey in our house. And this is what I have as of late April 2024. And I always allow myself some leeway to add things, to change things up. But as of right now, this is what I got. So I thought I'd make a podcast for you to tell you what guides me. And I suggest you, if you're doing unschooling, that you jot down your own. So that way you know the direction you're headed. But I think a lot of these values are going to be universal for most of us, who, especially those who unschool. I decided to break them down into four different themes. So the first one we're going to cover today is what I'm calling the foundational values. And these values establish the base of intentional unschooling. They focus on the intrinsic qualities and natural inclinations of the child. So the first value within the top 10 values and the first of the foundational values is the value of curiosity. We try and encourage a love for learning by supporting the child's natural curiosity and eagerness to understand the world. We do that by encouragement of curiosity. That's one way. And this is where we support the child's natural curiosity by asking great questions, exploring with them. And you might think of, at least in my own household, we practice this by asking questions about the Cold War, because that's what we're into right now. At least my sons are. We have timelines, and we start thinking about motives and just a whole bunch of, you know, why did that play out like that? What caused, you know, Stalin to react that way, or the United States to react that way? These are the kinds of questions that are great questions to ask. And honestly, you know, history is to be learned from. So I think asking great questions, especially around that, is fun and healthy. Also, we're just going to, if they're into something, we're going to dive into it. We, you know, if they're curious about something, let them ask questions. We can answer those and dive into more to learn more about that, whatever they're into. Also, under the heading of curiosity, the value of curiosity, we like to expose them to various topics or things within the world. This helps provide a wide range of subjects to stimulate interest with the children. So if we're exposing them to different things, they might have questions about the way the world works or why something is done a certain way. In our house, we really just let life lead the way and we just get curious about life. So if there's something that sticks out to any one of my kids, they usually ask a question. I'm sure your kids are probably the same way. And we just dive into that. We just follow that curiosity. And that leads to quite a bit of learning. And I think that's one of the secrets in unschooling is following your curiosity. And I think it's actually one of the secrets of life, which is why we do this, why we unschool, is because I want to be curious myself. I think if I follow my curiosity, it leads to something meaningful and something of value as well, whether for me or for others. And anytime I've done that, it's always paid off for me. So intuitively, curiosity, following my curiosity is something I really want to instill in my children. The next value, the second value, is autonomy. And this is where I'm empowering my children to take charge of their learning and their lives, really, by making their own decisions and setting personal goals as appropriate. Some of the ways I do this is allowing for self-directed learning. I don't have a curriculum. We encourage children to set their own educational goals and pursue learning paths that interest them. They're the ones, you know, and we might not do like formal goals or anything like that, but we do, you know, if they say, I want to learn more about, we do that. You know, that's a goal. We also like to instill confidence in our children by allowing them to navigate their learning experiences independent of us at times. Because we respect that autonomy, because we give them that autonomy, they feel like the author of their life. And if they're the author of their life, that's autonomy right there, right? You want to prepare them for adulthood. And if you can have them accept responsibility for their life, they're going to be able to operate autonomously. That's called an adult. That's a good thing. Some of the ways we do that in our house, as far as instilling confidence, building confidence to be able to act autonomously, is give them just a little bit more autonomy than you're comfortable with. It's an exercise for you and them. If they get it, if they're able to do whatever you're asking, great. You know, you both have more confidence in the process. If they don't, it's a learning experience, and then they adapt and they continue to grow till they're able to do it. This might be walking around to the neighbor's house around the block, or going outside and exploring on their own within reason. Of course, we live in the city, so we don't let them go incredibly far, but a block is going around the block is fine with us at this point. We also want them to be decision makers. I think that encourages the value of autonomy. This is where we cultivate decision making skills by empowering them to make their own choices about what, when, and how they learn, and really just about their lives, really, because that's what it is. That's what I want in my life. That's what I'm giving them, and I may as well teach them how to operate in the real world. And in the real world, you got to be able to make decisions, and you have to be responsible for those decisions. And that means you're going to have to think about things like what, when, and how you do things, or how you learn something, because you're always going to have to be learning and growing. An example, and this is, again, in line with the value of autonomy, an example of having them make their own decisions in a nice practice environment is let them play an RPG-style game. I mean, that's the lowest risk way to do it. For example, Zelda on the Switch, Tears of the Kingdom, I think is what it's called. It's one of the games we're into. I think it's that. There's a couple of them. Anyways, they were able to make all their own decisions, and they face the consequences of the decision in a simulated world. Cool. Other ways, more in the real world, is allowing them to stay up as late as they want, doing something, learning whatever they want. They decide when they go to sleep. Most of the time they get to decide when they want to wake up, if they wake up before the time that we have to get them up, whenever that is during the day. But we try and give them as much decision-making capacity as possible, because as they grow, they're only growing, I should say, because they've been able to practice their decision-making skills to make wiser decisions next time, and learning from those missteps, that will create more autonomous individuals. Future adults in training, I like to say. The third and final value of the foundational values is respect. This is where we value, we acknowledge each child's thoughts, feelings, capabilities, particularly with them as an individual. That's really what we're focusing on. I want to create someone who I can't create it. I shouldn't use that word. Let me be very careful with my words. I want to show my children respect as an I want to respect them as an individual. That means respecting their thoughts, feelings, their capabilities, and teach them how others should treat them. And that includes me. Some ways we do that is respecting, and this is particular to unschooling, intentional unschooling at that. We respect the child's individuality and intrinsic motivation, what drives them. We don't try and change it. We don't try and put them on a separate path from what they choose to do. You know, we might steer them, right? We're the parent. I think we should have some influence over our children. We should try and steer them down the right path. However, we cannot control them. If you try and control someone, they will find ways of getting what they want. Trust me. So I want to show them that I respect them as an individual. And I think one of the ways we can do that is allowing them to follow their own interests. So, you know, find that intrinsic motivation. That's one of the powers of unschooling. We treat them as capable individuals with their own strengths and preferences. Now, one of the ways I do that in this house is we just dive into whatever the kids are into. The kids are really into the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution right now, and understanding that because they're learning about the Cold War. And there's some fundamental differences between Stalin Russia and a 1940s and 50s America. And even within the United States, you had McCarthyism and maybe some of the civil rights violations that were happening then that eventually we caught on to. These are good things to learn, good things to discuss. And my children are intrinsically motivated to learn this, and I respect that. So we just dive into it. And that's what I want them to do when they're an adult. That's what I do. So I want to train them to be an adult. That's one of the ways we do it. Another way to respect them is doing responsive teaching. That's what we'll call it. This is being attentive and responsive to modifying learning strategies. For example, my children like documentaries versus, you know, they always prefer TV. I prefer TV too. So my children prefer audiovisual stimulation mostly. It's probably almost everyone's kids. They prefer television. So we watch documentaries on World War II and the Cold War and whatever else, science projects and stuff like that. We do other stuff too, but that's one of the ways they really enjoy learning. They also enjoy, at least my oldest enjoys reading a textbook. So we allow that to happen and we support that. So we got him a textbook to read about something he's interested in. I think that's just respecting the way your children learn. They're not going to be learners. Their preferences will not be in every learning. I'm going to fumble on my terminology here, but it won't be. Every child learns different is what I'm trying to say. There's audio, visual, kinesthetic, more than that. Just respecting the way they learn, I think keeps it interesting for them, keeps them engaged. It's good to expose them to other ways, but not at the expense of them hating it. And I'll stop there. The next theme of values that we're going to cover are called developmental values. And these are values that are centered around adapting and personalizing the educational experience to fit the child's unique development and interests. So the first value within this, and the fourth overall, is flexibility. We have to have flexibility within the within our unschooling environment. We adjust learning approaches to fit the changing interest and developmental stages of each of our children. So if the boys show more interest in coding over Legos, you know, that's a shift. And we put more resources into coding than Legos. I think we, and that's just being adaptable, right? We want to change with our children. We do not want to throttle them and slow their growth. We want them to move at the pace that keeps them engaged with whatever interests them, allow them to do a deep dive, and then allow them to move on when they're done. Again, we can always try and influence them into the things that we think are going to be valuable, but we need to respect them at the same time and remain flexible ourselves. Another way we can show flexibility is a personalized learning environment. We can create a tailored educational experience for them, or maybe different spaces for each child to learn. I know one place that my kids love to learn is in their bedroom, sitting in their beds. So what we did is we added a bookshelf to the bunk beds and my daughter's bed. She's in a smaller bed on her own. So we made bookshelves for all the kids so they can have books readily available and anything else that they want to, you know, do. Because we allow them to, they just have to be in bed at a certain time and wake up at a certain time whenever we have them wake up that morning. But they can go to bed as late as they want and wake up as early as they want, as long as they're quiet. So now they have this little personalized quiet space. They got reading lights. They can do stuff. We got little desks in there. So that way they can dive into something on their own. And I think this provides that, it cultivates that ability to focus in quiet moments. And I think they're going to really appreciate that I set up that little personalized space for them where they can sit down and focus on something that they find valuable, you know, that they're into. Because I think attention spans are very short these days. So creating that space, I think, really helps them. Moving on, another developmental value and the fifth overall value of intentional unschooling is individuality. So this is recognizing and nurturing each child's unique talents and strengths and promoting a tailored educational path for them. This is where we divert from a curriculum. We follow the child's interest. One of the ways we support individuality is acknowledgement of their individual strengths. We recognize and celebrate each child's unique strengths and abilities within the educational setting. And we do that by helping them build on their strengths. Now, we also want to help them develop the areas where they're weak, because you need to be a functional adult and you need to be able to be adaptable and all that stuff. However, I think geniuses are made when you really focus the majority of your time on your strengths and focus on the weaknesses enough to the point where the weaknesses do not drag down the strengths. Because they're never, if they're horrible at science or they have no interest in science, let's say, yeah, like they have to have some basic science understanding. However, we're not going to go over and just dive into science 24/7 and make that our only focus and get incredibly good at it, because they're really just not interested in it. It's not their natural gifting. But if they're really good at math, we can go down that road with engineering and physics and coding and other things that use math. Your child was built in a certain way. I believe that we were all created and we were given gifts. And I think developing those gifts, doubling down on those gifts to help them grow as fast as possible, you know, I'll say, but really as fast as they are supposed to without throttling them or pushing them too fast. I think that's good parenting. I think that's good preparation to be very skilled in the future, not just and this isn't just like career-wise. I mean, like, it's everything. My daughter is 5 years old, and she loves me really well. I mean, she gives me hugs. We're going to a daddy-daughter dance tonight, and she is just, she's getting dressed up for me. These are things that she's really good at. She's really good at loving me. She's going to dress up. She's going to wear her bracelets and her necklace and bring a purse and all this awesome stuff. And she's giving me hugs. She wants to dance. I am going to soak all that up. One, because I love it. Two, because that's one of her gifts. And I want her to be able to do that with me and cultivate that gift, because it's built within her. When you're 5 years old, man, you just see all the cool gifts that are just built within. I mean, I didn't teach her how to do this. I mean, some of it she learned from me, like, you know, how to give hugs and say nice things. But boy, she's really good. Really good at loving daddy. Another way we can build individuality, you know, or let another way we express the value of individuality in our intentional in schooling is giving tailored learning approaches. Again, this is anti-curriculum, right? We're going to customize a path to harness and develop their individual interests and strengths. So this might be, I know recently we were into the eclipse because I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and we were dead center of the latest eclipse in 2024. So we learned all about the solar system, eclipses, the moon, the sun, even all that stuff. And this was not on any curriculum. This was just a happening in our city. So we just dove in, and then we were able to really enjoy that eclipse. But, you know, if you have a curriculum laid out, you have things that you want your child to do or learn, and you're going to kind of force their hand, well, you're not allowing them to be fully individual. Again, I think we should influence our kids because that's our responsibility as parents, especially with intentional in schooling. However, we're not going to stifle their individuality. In fact, we want them to differentiate. We want them to be more of an individual, because that means they have their strengths to a max, and people love them more because they get to know them more. I mean, I always tell my kids, some people won't like you. That's just a fact, and that's okay. But if you hide who you are because you're trying to make people who don't like you just a little bit more, so they dislike you a little bit less, that's no way to live life. If you're able to fully be yourself, meaning owning your interests, owning what you've chosen to do, own who you are, your smile, your whatever, the people who already like you incredibly will love you because they just want to know more of you. They like you for you. To me, hands down, I'm not going to go over and try and appease the people who don't like me. I'm just going to go over and try and do my thing because I know the people in my life that do that, I love them more. Like, you know, I feel more drawn to them. I feel more connected with them when they are more their self, because that's what I like about them. And that only happens if you're becoming a true individual, who you were created to be. The next theme of values are what I call the practical values. And these values ensure that learning is relevant and applicable, promoting practical integration of knowledge through real-world application. So you got to apply this in real life. And I think this is one of the strong points of intentional unschooling and unschooling in general. It's very practical. You're learning how to be an adult and function very well at a young age. So the first value is real-life application. I define this as connecting learning with everyday life, making education meaningful, and directly usable. So we focus on practical application. This is where we integrate practical skills into whatever we're doing, you know, whatever's ahead of us, whatever we come across within the day, to make learning directly relevant and applicable to daily life. Again, when we had the eclipse go through, well, what'd we do? We learned all about the sun, the solar system, planets, stars, even all that stuff. And it just came about. And it was very practical because we were about to witness the eclipse, right? So we were going to see something. We wanted to fully understand it. Maybe a better example might be learning math. And my son recently wanted to figure out how much money he could make if he took out the trash, and I taught him Excel. At least a little bit about Excel, you know, how to do math in Excel. And he uses that to forecast, is what he wants to do, to figure out how much char money he can make, that kind of stuff. I don't know how far he's taken it, but I know I showed him a spreadsheet on how to do that, and he was just blown away. And that's something you can use in real life, and we just took that opportunity to make something real world that's tangible for him. Also, in real life application, we want contextual learning. We want to teach concepts, academic concepts, through their practical application. And this enhances understanding and retention by relating them to real life. And I think the more we remove things from real life, the more it's just theory, the harder it is to remember. And I love theory at a high level, but there has to be a point in which it's useful and practically applied. Otherwise, I just kind of forget it over time, I think. I don't know. At least that's my theory. So, for example, that whole spreadsheet thing. I want him to learn Excel, let's say. Well, I could just show him the powers of Excel, and then he can use math in Excel, and then he can use that with anything else. It could also be, for the younger ones, addition and subtracting when we're cooking. And you can do this, you know, when you're baking something. It just shows that learning math is important, and it can be important to them too. And I think that's where us as intentional in schoolers who go over and support our children and try and influence them into the path that's most likely to help them achieve their goals and be a healthy adult in every form. I think us trying to steer them down that path to be that healthy adult is what's best. And I think we know what's best. We just have those years on us. But we're not going to force. We can only ask, because you can never force anyone to do anything. The next value, and this is the seventh value, is critical thinking. And this is still under our practical values. This is where we encourage children to analyze, question, and apply logic, enhancing their ability to think independently and solve problems. The first way we can do that is using problem solving in real life contexts. When they come across something, work through it with them, teach them how you think about it, don't tell them what to do. Hey, do you want to know, hey son, do you want to know, that's a tough situation. I know I've been in a situation like that before. Oh yeah, Dad, what'd you do? Well, I wanted to preserve the relationship and still make sure I communicate that I am unhappy with what's going on. So this is how I did it. Oh, okay. And they learn from that, right? We're modeling for them. And then they can go over and take that within their own life. You can learn from the documentaries in World War II, right, that we've gone through, or the Cold War, and bring that down to a personal level on why the world is the way it is, and have them think about some of the things that go on out there. Like, there's a war in Ukraine and Russia, and understanding the history of it, you can then talk about it a little bit more intelligently. And then you can understand that, you know, people are motivated by certain things, and maybe there's different world perceptions, and maybe that's what's going on with you and your brother right now, as he sees the world this way and you see the world that way, and then there's a conflict. I don't know. Maybe that's a stretch, but there's probably better examples out there, but that's what comes to mind. We often have a lot of dinner table discussions about that type of stuff. So it's real world for us, but I think we're probably unique in that. Another way to encourage critical thinking is interactive learning. This is where we're engaging in activities that require analytical thinking. So this might be, you know, in the simplest form, playing that video game that they have to, you know, maybe it's a strategy game, maybe it's an RPG, a role-playing game, where they have to critically think to achieve the next goal. That's a nice simulated way to do it. And that's one of the ways I learned growing up. But also in real life, to achieve something, they want to get to the video game, so they have to save up their money. How are they going to do that? Well, now dad taught them Excel, now they can project. All good things. The last group of values are supportive values. And this will get us to the 10 total values. Supportive values are values that focus on the role of the parents and learning environment in fostering a supportive and enriching educational journey. The first value and our eighth overall, so our first supportive value and eighth overall value is encouragement. We support and motivate our children through positive reinforcement, helping them build confidence and resilience. And we can do this in two ways. One, we can give them some emotional support. We can offer encouragement, understanding, and patience. This is the one I struggle with. When a child is asked or wants to do a difficult task, we're going to be there by their side to boost morale, tell them they can do it, be that voice in their head that tells them they can do it. We're also going to build their confidence to foster a sense of self-efficacy through really just our supportive interactions with our kids. So we might note how I worked two 16-hour shifts. I worked back to back, and I was gone. I asked my boys, "Hey, I need you to step up in the house. I'm going to be gone. Mom's going to struggle. Are you able to handle that?" "Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, good. All right. Here's some ways I've been helping her. Asking her how she's doing, spending time with her, you know, keeping her company, doing stuff without asking, like vacuuming the floor, or whatever it might be. Can you do some of that stuff while I'm gone?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." "Okay, good." And then I followed back up with them and said, "Hey, did you do any of that stuff?" And it's like, "Oh yeah, I did." And it's like, "Wow, you did it. Okay, good job. You can fulfill that role that I've been filling. You know, he's going to step into husband role one day." Both my boys are, right? And when they step up into that, they're already going to have the confidence they can support their wife because they learned how to do that with supporting their mom. The next value, it's our ninth overall value, and the next supportive value is supportiveness. We provide resources, guidance, and examples enabling children to explore and learn in a nurturing environment. We do this in a couple different ways. One is resources. We give them resources. This is supplying a variety of tools and opportunities. We can't forget that. We have to give them opportunities to learn different environments, different tools, all that stuff. This might be providing software to learn coding or to make music. It might be art supplies, which is one thing my daughter's really into right now. So we do a lot of stuff and we give them time to do it. Another way we can be express that supportive value is role modeling. And this is where we demonstrate lifelong curiosity and learning because that's what we do as adults. So if you want them to cultivate that, you have to model it yourself. And this is with everything. You're the number one role model in your children's life. You will be way more influential than you probably want to be. But one of the ways we can do this in a positive way is sharing our experiences and our learning journeys and things that they're interested in. When they come across a problem, we are able to talk about how we handled our life in the past like that. And we do it in the future, and we tell them why we're doing what we're doing. And this is basically just a continuous shared journey, talking about work struggles as appropriate, right? Talking about interpersonal relationships as appropriate. I know one thing my parents did with me was they talked about some of the struggles they had with their parents, with their siblings, with their friends. And it made me realize that, you know, there's no perfect world and you're going to have to jump through this hoop with people. So you may as well learn how to do it. I knew that's what I was up against, so I wanted to learn more about it. And I watched how they handled things. And that really helped me, I think. The last and final value is holistic development. And this is the last of the supportive values. Holistic development, as I'm defining it, is fostering all aspects of the child's growth, including mental, physical, spiritual, everything, to promote a very well-rounded development. This is one thing that I think that's a big hole in the traditional educational system, but very strong in the unschooling community. Because that's what we focus on, holistic development, practical skills. Those are big things, right? Holistic development is one of the major ones. Ways we can do that. One, we focus on developing mental, spiritual, physical, all the things, all these things that we want to help them grow in. That's what we, you know, that's life. We learn how to do that. Ways we might do that is expressing the importance of getting outside and doing physical activity to take care of your body, the physical aspect. Like playing basketball, that's what we tell them to do a lot because they're into it. Maybe, you could do this in so many ways. Creative play, we want them to be creative. So we have them do a lot of creative play. And this is how we help them develop holistically. Get them involved with things that we're doing in everyday life. Another way we can help them grow holistically is exposure to a variety of environments. And some, this is uncomfortable sometimes because some of the environments aren't so fun, but that's what we're up against as people. That's what we're up against as adults. And when we expose them to a variety of environments, what I'm specifically talking about is providing a diverse settings and experiences that stimulate growth and learning in different areas. So they're going to be challenged. It's going to garner questions. Answering those questions, learning about that, and walking with them. Don't create these opportunities just to make their life harder. Sometimes I create these opportunities just to help them learn because it's going to be valuable in the future. So that way they know the next step next time they go through it. But most of the time it's just learning as we go because life's hard enough and you're going to come across enough things to learn about even without trying to create some of this stuff. But one of the ways we expose them to a variety of environments is we might try and get them interested in something. And this is a very positive way to do this. Go to a museum. You know, we have the solar eclipse. Hey, this is coming up. Let's learn about what's happening. They ask about the war in Ukraine. You know, there was a Cold War. You know, go back to World War II. Let's learn about that. And then let's work our way up. Take them to a performance to see a dancer if they're interested in dance, or go to a science center if they're interested in learning about astronomy, science, that kind of stuff. Anyways, I've gone well over my time. This is a little bit of a longer episode. So with that, I'm going to end today's episode. So stay curious, stay unschooled, and stay away from the algebra nightmares. I'll catch you in the next episode. Before I let you go, I have to pause and say this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Your presence here is the fuel that ignites this movement. I am incredibly moved that you trust in us enough to click play. You, my friends, are the caped heroes in this story, the guardians of your family's learning journey, and a beacon of hope for your community. Be bold. Do what you think is best for you and your family. Thanks again for tuning in and taking this courageous leap outside of the box for this educational revolution. Welcome to the front line.